Okay, well, I'm gonna speed up now that I know that Luis can keep up with me, so I'll talk faster.
Voy a ir un poco más rápido ahora que ya me di cuenta que Luis puede seguirme el paso.
Oftentimes, I talk really fast, and they just say, "Please repeat it. We didn't get it."
Muchas veces hablo demasiado rápido y simplemente me dicen, "Por favor, repítelo. No lo entendimos."
Okay, we welcome back everybody who's live streaming us.
Bienvenidos de vuelta a todos los que están con nosotros en vivo.
We're in Genesis chapter 2.
Estamos en Génesis en el capítulo 2.
And there's just three things I want to point out to you in that passage.
Y hay tres cosas que quiero enfatizar en este pasaje.
The first thing is that God says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. So this is God's idea to create marriage, to create a woman, to create a relationship between God, between a man and a woman.
La primera es que Dios dijo, no es bueno que el hombre esté solo, por lo cual es la idea de Dios el crear el matrimonio para que el hombre no esté solo, para que la mujer no esté sola, para que estén juntos en matrimonio.
And then it says in verse 20 that there was no helper suitable for Adam.
Y entonces dice en el versículo 20 que no había ayuda idónea para Adán.
So the second thing is God brought a woman to Adam who was then to be a helper suitable for him.
Pero la segunda cosa es que como no había ayuda idónea para Adán, Dios trajo a la mujer a Adán para que fuera una ayuda idónea para él.
Perfectly formed to be the perfect complement to a man.
Formada perfectamente para ser el complemento perfecto de un hombre.
And then we have the famous passage that's quoted many places, but in verse 23, that she is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
Y entonces en el versículo 23 tenemos el pasaje muy citado que dice, esto es ahora hueso de mis huesos y carne de mi carne. Esta será llamada varona porque del varón fue tomada.
And so there are three things that make a marriage.
Hay tres cosas que constituyen un matrimonio.
For this cause a man, verse 24, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother.
Versículo 24, por tanto dejará el hombre a su padre y a su madre.
And this is the civil aspect. This is the public aspect of a wedding.
Este es el aspecto civil y público de una boda.
Where they are literally leaving one family and establishing their own.
Cuando están literalmente dejando una familia para establecer una nueva.
Now, our friends in Vietnam don't do that.
Nuestros compañeros en Vietnam no hacen esto.
When they get married, the young couple have to live in the home of the parents, the father and mother of the son, for 7 years.
Cuando se casan, la nueva pareja tiene que vivir en la casa de los padres del novio por 7 años.
And the young man can't make any decisions related to his marriage.
Y el hombre, el joven casado, no puede tomar ninguna decisión con respecto
Only
a su matrimonio.
The father does.
Solo el padre del novio.
So you may think sometimes that you feel a little bit controlled by your church or your family or your culture. You haven't seen anything yet.
Si a veces sientes que te sientes un poco controlado por tu iglesia o por tu cultura o algo por el estilo, no has visto nada.
So this is the public civil aspect of marriage.
Este es el aspecto público y civil del matrimonio.
And then it says that he shall cleave to his wife.
Y después dice y se unirá a su mujer.
And this means to stick like glue.
Y esto es pegarse como pegamento.
And so this is the this is not the civil aspect, but this would be the emotional aspect, the heart aspect, where you're connecting life to life and soul to soul.
Este ya no es el aspecto civil, sino el aspecto emocional del corazón, donde estás conectando un alma con otra, un corazón con otro.
And without this, you do not have a marriage.
Y sin estos aspectos no tienes el matrimonio.
And then it says, and they shall become one flesh.
Y después dice, y serán una sola carne.
This is the sexual aspect of marriage.
Este es el aspecto sexual del matrimonio.
But it's more than that.
Pero es mucho más que esto.
It speaks of the unity.
Habla de unidad.
It speaks of being one person.
Habla de ser una persona.
Where in the future, let's say 30, 40 years from now,
donde en el futuro, digamos, 30 o 40 años en adelante,
they never think of you and your husband or you and your wife as two different people. They can only think of you together. They can't, in their mind, they can never think of you being separate.
Ya no puedes pensar en la pareja como dos personas distintas. Siempre piensas en esta pareja como un solo ser.
Because you have become so one with one another that everybody treats you as one person. Because you really are now one person.
Te has vuelto uno mismo con esa persona y así es como se trata y así es como se siente. Eres uno mismo.
And so these are the aspects of marriage. And you can look it up. Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 10, verse 7.
Y puedes buscarlo. Jesucristo mismo habla de esto en Marcos capítulo 10, versículo 7.
So Jesus believed that Adam and Eve were real people.
Jesús creía que Adán y Eva eran personas reales.
So if Jesus and Paul believe it, I believe it.
Y si Jesús y Pablo lo creían, yo lo creo.
Now let's go on to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament.
Vámonos al libro de Efesios en el Nuevo Testamento.
So these are the two most important passages on marriage in the Bible. One is in the Old Testament, one is in the New Testament.
Estos son los más versículos más importantes del con respecto al matrimonio. Uno está en el Viejo Testamento y los otros en el Nuevo Testamento.
Okay, so we're going to Ephesians chapter 5.
Efesios capítulo 5.
And in a famous passage, Luis will read verses 22 to 33.
Okay, vamos a leer un pasaje muy famoso de Efesios 5, de los versículos 22 a 23, y Luis los va a leer para ustedes. Las casadas estén sujetas a sus propios maridos como al Señor, porque el marido es cabeza de la mujer, así como Cristo es cabeza de la iglesia, la cual es su cuerpo y Él es su Salvador. Así que como la iglesia está sujeta a Cristo, así también las casadas lo estén a sus maridos en todo. Maridos, amad a vuestras mujeres, así como Cristo amó a la iglesia y se entregó a sí mismo por ella, para santificarla, habiéndola purificado en el lavamiento del agua por la palabra, a fin de presentársela a sí mismo una iglesia gloriosa, que no tuviese mancha ni arruga ni cosa semejante, sino que fuese santa y santa. Así también los maridos deben amar a sus mujeres, como a sus mismos cuerpos. El que ama a su mujer, a sí mismo se ama. Porque nadie aborreció jamás a su propia carne, sino que la sustenta y la cuida, como también Cristo a la iglesia. Porque somos miembros de su cuerpo, de su carne y de sus huesos. Por esto dejará el hombre a su madre y a su padre y a su madre, y se unirá a su mujer, y los dos serán una sola carne. Grande es este misterio. Mas yo digo esto respecto de Cristo y de la iglesia. Por lo demás, cada uno de vosotros ame también a su mujer como a sí mismo y la mujer respete a su marido.
Thank you very much, Luis. All right, there's a similar passage, it's shorter, that we find in Colossians chapter 3.
Hay un pasaje más corto que encontramos en Colosenses capítulo 3.
And they are called by theologians the household texts, in English.
Y los teólogos los llaman los textos del hogar.
But we'll just look at the one that's found in Ephesians.
Vamos a leer hoy el de Efesios.
But look at how it's addressed to all the members of the household.
Fíjense cómo está dirigido a todos los miembros del hogar.
Verse 22 it says wives, and verse 25 it says husbands.
El versículo 22 dice mujeres, el versículo 25 dice maridos.
Chapter 6, verse 1, it says children.
Capítulo 6, versículo 1, dice hijos.
Chapter 6, verse 4, it says fathers.
Capítulo 6, versículo 4 dice padres.
Chapter 6, verse 5, it says slaves.
Capítulo 6, versículo 5 dice siervos.
Chapter 6, verse 9, it says masters.
Capítulo 6, versículo 9 dice amos.
So it's dealing with all the different people that make up families in the early church or in the Roman Empire.
Está lidiando con todos los miembros que conformaban una familia o un hogar.
We're just focusing on the ones addressed to the husbands and the wives.
Pero hoy nos estamos enfocando en lo que concierne al esposo y a la esposa.
The wives have a command and the husbands have a command.
Las mujeres tienen un mandamiento y los hombres tienen un mandamiento.
Wives, you are to be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's what it says in verse 22.
El versículo 22 dice, las casadas estén sujetas a sus propios maridos como al Señor.
Husbands, you are to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Verse 25.
Maridos, amad a vuestras mujeres así como Cristo amó a la iglesia y se entregó a sí mismo por ella.
And yes, it says, wives, that you are to commit yourself to your husband, respect him and honor him, and do what he asks.
Dice, y sí, dice, esposas que tienen que someterse a sus maridos y respetarlos y hacer como él dice.
And Paul is speaking to Christians, and he's speaking to women who hopefully are being filled with the Spirit, just as he's mentioned a few verses earlier.
Y entonces lo que tenemos que considerar es que Pablo se está dirigiendo a cristianos y a cristianas particularmente que yo espero estén llenas del Espíritu Santo, como dice Pablo en versículos anteriores.
But he says much more to the husband than to the wife.
Pero dice mucho más al esposo que a la esposa.
And he says to the husband, you're to love the wives and literally die for her, because that's what Jesus did. He died for the church.
Le dice al esposo, tú tienes que amar a tu esposa y literalmente morir por ella, porque eso es lo que Cristo hizo por la iglesia.
So it's okay for you women to subject yourselves to a man who's dying to you every day and whose purpose in life is to serve you and love you and help you feel secure.
Entonces consideren esto, mujeres, está bien someterse a sus esposos cuando son hombres que están muriendo a sí mismos todos los días para dedicar su vida a servirles y amarlas.
We'll go into it in more detail later when we talk about marriage, but the greatest need of a woman is to be cherished and to feel loved.
Vamos a hablar un poco más de esto después, pero una de las necesidades más grandes de una mujer es sentirse apreciada y amada. Y eso es lo que un hombre está mandado a hacer.
Because that's her greatest need.
Porque esa es la necesidad más grande de una mujer.
That is not the husband's greatest need.
No es la necesidad más grande de un esposo.
The husband's greatest need is to be honored and respected and trusted.
La necesidad más grande de un hombre es ser honorado y respetado y confiado.
And if he's not, many men would rather commit suicide than to live with that shame if there are people who are not treating him that way.
Y si no es así, es realidad que muchos hombres preferirían suicidarse antes de vivir con la vergüenza de no ser tratado de esta forma.
And he quotes what Moses wrote in Genesis 2.
Y cita lo que Moisés escribió al final del capítulo 2 de Génesis.
In verse 31
en el versículo 31.
Genesis 2.
Está citando a Génesis 2.
But at the very end he says, but this is a great mystery. I'm not speaking about marriage.
Pero
I'm not even talking about men and women.
Al final de este pasaje, incluso él dice, esto es un gran misterio. Ni siquiera estoy hablando del matrimonio, no estoy hablando de hombres y mujeres.
I'm talking about Christ and his church.
Estoy hablando de Cristo y de su iglesia.
And so this is another thing we're going to talk about later, but we're introducing it here.
Esto es algo de lo que vamos a platicar más adelante, pero lo estamos introduciendo.
Marriage is to be a picture of God and the believer.
El matrimonio debe ser una imagen de Dios y el creyente.
It's to be a picture of Christ and his church.
Debe ser una imagen de Cristo y de su iglesia.
And you're going to be thrilled to see that The church in various passages in the New Testament is called the bride of Christ.
Les emocionará ver que la iglesia en el Nuevo Testamento muchas veces es llamada la esposa de Cristo.
This is one where we're not going to read it, but 2 Corinthians 11:2 calls the church the bride of Christ, which is what she is.
Segunda de Corintios 11:2 dice que la iglesia es la esposa de Cristo, que es lo que es.
And then Jesus says in Revelation 3:21 that whoever continues to the end will be not only my disciple, but is going to sit on the throne and reign with me.
Jesucristo en Apocalipsis 3:21 dice que el que persevere hasta el final va a sentarse con él en su trono y reinar juntamente con él.
And Jesus is going to reign as king.
Y Cristo va a reinar como rey.
What do you call the bride of a king who sits on a throne next to the king?
¿Cómo se le llama a la mujer de un rey que se siente en el trono junto al rey?
She's a queen. And that's what we all are going to be. He's preparing us to be his queen and to reign with him in his kingdom.
Es lo que vamos a hacer. Él nos está preparando para ser una reina y reinar juntamente con Él en su reino.
And that's the picture you're going to begin to show as a married couple when people begin to look at you and your children and your extended family.
Y es la imagen que tú quieres mostrar cuando estés con tu familia, con tu esposa, con tus hijos y reinando en ese ámbito.
You're going to be giving them a picture of Jesus on his throne reigning and his queen with him. And everybody living in harmony and unity and peace.
Es una imagen para el mundo de Cristo reinando con su iglesia y sus hijos en armonía.
Because that's how it's going to be in the kingdom.
Porque así es como va a ser en el reino de Dios.
How are most marriages? What do they picture?
¿Cómo son la mayoría de los matrimonios? ¿Qué es lo que ellos reflejan?
Hell.
El infierno.
Yeah, most marriages picture the opposite.
La mayoría de los matrimonios reflejan lo opuesto.
And I can tell you, unless you determine from the very beginning of your marriage, like with this dear couple, they just are married, but most of the rest of you are not. But even with them, in the very earliest stage of your marriage, and even before. You have to determine that this is the direction you want to go.
Y les garantizo que si no determinan desde un principio hacia dónde quieren ir, como esta pareja joven que tenemos aquí, si determinan desde un principio a dónde quieren, es ahí a donde van a ir finalmente.
Because everything in the world is going to be against you doing that.
Porque todo lo que hay en este mundo estará en tu contra de que lo hagas de esta forma.
But the good news is, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Jesus wants you to be.
Pero las buenas noticias es que vas a tener el Espíritu de Dios contigo y esto es exactamente lo que Dios quiere que hagas.
And with his help, you can do it.
Y con su ayuda sí que puedes hacerlo.
But it's not going to be easy.
Pero no va a ser fácil.
But nothing that's easy is worth doing.
Nada que sea fácil vale la pena hacerlo.
So it's going to be hard, but that means it's going to be worth doing.
Va a ser difícil, pero eso implica que va a valer la pena hacerlo.
Now look at what the next thing is. Have a biblical worldview and a clear philosophy of life.
Vamos a ver lo que dice después. Tener un punto de vista bíblico y una filosofía de vida clara.
We looked at knowing God's plan for marriage. That's what Genesis 2 and Ephesians 5 talk about.
Hablamos de tener de conocer el plan de Dios para tu matrimonio. Eso es lo que dice Génesis 2.
But another thing that's really important is to have a biblical worldview.
Pero otra cosa que es muy importante es tener un punto de vista bíblico.
Most people have a worldview that is shaped by this age.
Muchos tienen una visión que está conforme a esta época.
And when they think about virtually anything of importance, they're only thinking about what the world tells you to think.
Y cuando piensan en cualquier cosa que sea importante, piensan de acuerdo a lo que el mundo quiere que pienses.
And so the world tells you that there is no God.
Por ejemplo, el mundo te dice que no hay Dios.
Or the exact opposite, like Hinduism, that there's 330 million gods.
O lo opuesto, como el hinduismo, que hay 30 mil millones de dioses.
Or the world says that all there is matter. What you can see and observe.
El mundo también te puede decir que lo único que existe es la materia, lo que puedes ver y observar.
And the immaterial does not exist.
Y que lo que no es material no existe.
And or the world will say that science is everything. Science can solve any problem.
El mundo te dirá que la ciencia lo es todo, que la ciencia puede resolver cualquier problema.
Even things like your children get sick, and so you take them to a doctor because the doctor will heal them, and science is great, and we have these medications. And then, and we also have all these other instruments and things that can measure what's going on.
Incluso si tus hijos se enferman, solo es cosa de llevarlos al médico porque tenemos toda esta clase de medicamentos, instrumentos que van a solucionar el problema.
And it never even enters their mind to pray that God would heal their child.
Sorry, what was that?
It would never even enter their mind
nunca se les ocurriría pensar que le pidan a Dios para ayuda para sanar a su hijo.
Because they're not even thinking like that.
No están pensando de esta forma.
Most people, when they're thinking of a whole cosmology of the world,
cuando la gente está pensando en la cosmología del mundo,
if it's a Marxist, a atheist, somebody who's just the term would be humanist or just a scientist.
Sí, sí, es un marxista, un ateo, un humanista radical o un científico puro.
They would not see any God. They would not see any spirits. And when you die, you die.
No verían a un Dios. No verían el mundo espiritual. Cuando te mueres, te mueres.
There are others in Africa. Many of my friends who have become Christians, they still have an African worldview.
Hay muchos en África, amigos míos, que se han convertido al cristianismo.
They still feel that there are competing big spirits that fight each other, and one is not necessarily more powerful than the other.
Ellos todavía creen en un dualismo de espíritus que están combatiendo uno contra otro y ninguno es más fuerte que el otro.
And then that leads to a hierarchy of lesser powerful and lesser powerful spirits that rule everywhere.
Y eso nos lleva a una jerarquía de seres espirituales que están reinando por todas partes.
And this forest might be where one spirit is, and this river might be where another one is.
Y entonces en un bosque tienes a un espíritu y en un río tienes a otro espíritu.
And so when one of their family members gets sick, they go to a witch doctor and they seek they seek help from demonic forces.
Entonces, cuando un miembro de su familia se enferma, van con brujas para buscar ayuda de fuerzas demoníacas.
And we see this with millions of Christians in Africa. That's what they do.
Y lo vemos con millones de cristianos en África. Eso es lo que hacen.
Because they still have a worldview that is very carnal and tied to to their physical world.
Todavía tiene una cosmovisión muy carnal y ligada a su mentalidad mundana del mundo físico.
But you need to see that there is one great God who is over everything.
Pero tú debes entender que hay un gran Dios por encima de todo.
And if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna do something really quick here.
Yeah.
And with this great God, there was a rebellion at the very beginning of the Bible.
Y con este gran Dios hubo una rebelión al principio de la Biblia.
And you can read about it. We won't do it. You can read about it in Ecclesiastes. Ezekiel 28.
Y podemos leer acerca de esto en Ezequiel 28.
Verses 11 to 18.
De los versículos 11 al 18.
And it speaks of this glorious creature, the greatest creature that God ever created, wanting to be like God.
Y habla de esta criatura gloriosa, la criatura más gloriosa.
And getting cast out of heaven.
La criatura más gloriosa que Dios creó. Rechazada y sacada fuera del cielo.
And it even says that this creature was a an anointed cherub who was there in the Garden of Eden.
Era un querubín ungido que estaba en el jardín de Edén.
And so it says that he is cast down out of heaven. Heaven is no longer his home.
Entonces es sacado fuera del cielo y el cielo ya no es su hogar.
And his home is in the great atmospheres of the world.
Y su hogar es en las grandes atmósferas del universo.
But it does say that he can have access back up into heaven.
Pero sí dice que tiene acceso al cielo.
So in the book of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2, Satan goes up to heaven and is asking God, who is there in the world that follow you because they love you?
Entonces, en el capítulo 1 y 2 de Job, Satanás va al cielo y le dice a Dios, ¿quién hay en la tierra que te seguiría porque te ama?
No matter what happens to him.
No importa lo que pase.
And so God says, have you considered my servant Job?
Y Dios le dice, ¿has considerado a mi sirviente Job?
And so Satan is free to go down and kill Job's children and wreak a lot of havoc on all of his family in chapter 1.
Entonces Satanás es permitido, se le permite a Satanás venir a acabar con la vida de los hijos de Job y causar desastre en la familia de Job.
And Satan goes back up into heaven and the same now he's allowed to go and to hurt Job himself. In chapter 2, he just can't kill him.
Satanás entonces regresa al cielo y se le da permiso de lastimar a Job directamente. Solo no lo puede matar.
And then in books like 2 Kings, chapter 22, you find demons before God in heaven, and God is asking, who will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of King Ahab?
Entonces, en Segunda de Reyes tenemos a una serie de
a lying spirit in the prophets that are speaking to Ahab.
Okay, entonces en Segunda de Reyes están todas las fuerzas demoníacas frente a Dios y se les está preguntando quién de ustedes va a ir a hablar mentiras en nombre de los profetas que están hablando con el rey Ahab.
And so Satan and his demons even going back and forth up into heaven.
El punto es que Satanás y sus demonios tienen acceso para ir y venir al trono de Dios en el cielo.
But then in Revelation it says in chapter 12 that Satan is going to be cast down from where he is, and he's going to be cast down onto the earth, and he can no longer go anywhere but on the earth.
Entonces en Apocalipsis 12 vemos que Satanás va a ser eventualmente lanzado a la tierra y ya no va a tener acceso al cielo.
And then in Revelation 20 it has him being cast below the earth in what's called the great abyss, and it's going to be in a dark place of torment, and he's going to be there for 1,000 years.
Y en Apocalipsis 20 dice que entonces ahora va a ser lanzado más abajo al abismo profundo donde va a ser torturado por 1,000 años.
And then it says that he is let out of the abyss and loses a great battle to Jesus with all the peoples of the world.
Y entonces va a ser liberado de ese abismo y va a perder una gran batalla contra el ejército de Cristo.
And he's thrown down into the lake of fire.
Y es lanzado hasta lo más profundo al lago de fuego.
And Matthew 25:41 says, and the lake of fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels.
En el libro de Mateo dice el lago de fuego que fue preparado para Satanás y sus huestes.
So he's down out of heaven into the atmosphere.
Entonces ya no está ni en el cielo ni en esa atmósfera.
From the atmosphere to the earth,
ya fue lanzado a la tierra.
From the earth down into the abyss,
de la tierra al abismo.
And from the abyss down into the lake of fire.
Y del abismo al lago de fuego.
So he has a continual, he's continually falling until he's finally in the lake of fire at the end of the age.
Vemos que el diablo estará continuamente cayendo hasta que llega al lago de fuego al final de los tiempos.
But that's the picture that you need to see. A God who was mighty and over all.
Esa es la la imagen que ustedes tienen que visualizar, un Dios que es más grande que todo.
There are demons and there are elect angels.
Y que hay demonios y ángeles caídos.
And the elect angels serve all the purposes of God, and they're like Gabriel and Michael and many others.
Son, hay demonios y ángeles elegidos, y estos ángeles sirven a Dios.
And there are demons who are tormenting people and trying to keep people away from God.
Por otra parte están los demonios que lastiman a la gente y quieren que la gente se aleje de Dios.
But the Bible starts at the beginning with two problems.
Pero la Biblia empieza con dos problemas.
Rebellion in the heavenlies with Satan.
Rebelión en lo celestial con Satanás.
And rebellion on the earth with Adam and Eve.
Y rebelión en lo terrenal con Adán y Eva.
And at the very end, and this is important, these are two important verses for you to write down.
Y al final de todo, con estos dos versículos que quiero que anoten.
First John chapter 3, verse 5.
Primera de Juan 3:5.
And verse 8.
Y 8.
1 John 3, 5, and 8.
Primero Juan 3, versículos 5 y 8.
It says, but before I tell you what it says, let me tell you that there are these two issues at the very beginning of the Bible.
Antes de decirles lo que dice el versículo, recordemos, hay dos problemas al principio.
There's no one who can solve those two issues. There's only one individual in the universe that can solve those two issues.
No hay...
Who is that?
No hay nadie que pueda resolver esos dos problemas, solo hay un individuo que puede. ¿Quién es?
Rebellion in the heavenlies and rebellion on the earth. Who can solve that?
Rebelión en el cielo, rebelión en la tierra. ¿Quién puede resolver esto?
Only God. God is the only one who could solve that.
Solo Dios.
So what did God do? God came to earth and in one act solved both of those two rebellions forever.
Entonces, ¿qué hizo Dios? Dios vino al mundo y en un hecho resolvió ambos problemas para siempre.
What does it say in verse 5?
¿Qué dice en el versículo 5?
I'm going to give you just the paraphrase. It says, why did Jesus appear? That means, why did he come to earth? He came in order to what? What does it say? You can say it in Spanish.
Entonces, voy a parafrasear rápidamente. En el versículo 5, ¿para qué vino Jesús? ¿Qué dice que vino a hacer? ¿Alguien tiene el versículo? Dice
para
to get rid of the works of the Satan.
No, that's verse 8.
Oh, that's verse 8.
Verse 5.
Verse 5. Versículo 5. To remove our sins.
Yes. To remove our sins, and the only way that could have happened is for him to for Jesus to die on the cross and pay the ransom that Satan demanded so that Satan no longer has power over us.
But Jesús vino para pagar nuestros pecados y la única forma de hacer eso era muriendo en la cruz para pagar el costo que se requería.
Now what does it say in verse 8?
Ahora sí, ¿qué dice en el versículo 8? Pato. To get rid of the works of Satan.
To destroy the works of the devil. So by Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, what did he do?
Cuando Cristo murió en la cruz y después resucitó de los muertos, ¿qué hizo?
He took away the one weapon that Satan could hold over everybody.
Se deshizo del arma, del único arma que Satanás tenía para atacar a todos.
What is that?
¿Qué es esa arma? Sin.
La muerte.
Death.
Death.
La muerte.
Death. So now Satan is a defeated foe. It's only a matter of time.
Satanás ya es un enemigo derrotado. Solo es cuestión de tiempo.
And so, this is the worldview that you have. It begins in the beginning, and there are two problems. Jesus comes, and God does what only God can do, and solves both of those problems in one act through his death on the cross. And by doing that, he then pays for our sins and gives us newness of life, and he also destroys the works of the devil.
Entonces, en un acto, Dios vino a solucionar ambos problemas que se tenían. Era la rebelión en el cielo y la rebelión en la tierra. Vino, murió por nosotros, pagó por nuestros pecados para darnos nueva vida. Esa es la visión que quiero que ustedes tengan.
And at the end, I'm going to say something. I know I'm stepping on some people's feet. I know I'm stepping on all of you guys, because I've already talked with many of you, and I love all of you, but please listen to what I'm going to say.
Voy a decir unas cosas y sé que voy a posiblemente incomodar a algunos de los que están aquí, especialmente porque ya hablé con ustedes, pero los amo. Por favor, escuchen lo que quiero decir.
Everybody gets really worked up about Mother Earth.
La gente worked up. How do you translate that? La gente puede irritarse mucho, concernirse mucho con el tema de la Madre Tierra.
Yeah, and so we want to save the whales.
Queremos salvar a las ballenas.
And I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm just making some statements.
Y no quiero decir que eso no es importante. Solo quiero establecer algo.
And we're concerned about the climate, and we're concerned about the atmosphere, and we're concerned about whether our world is even going to be around in another 100 years.
Estamos preocupados por el cambio climático, por la atmósfera, por el hecho de el mundo si existirá o no en unos cuantos años.
You have to take a step back and put your big boy pants on, your big girl pants on, and look at what the Bible is teaching.
Tienes que dar un paso para atrás y ponerte tus pantalones y darte cuenta de lo que la Biblia está enseñando.
Because the Bible is teaching that this world is going to get worse and worse.
Porque la Biblia está enseñando que este mundo se va a poner peor y peor.
You think you've got bad atmospheric problems now? Wait till you get into the Book of Revelation and the very end of the age.
Si tú crees que tienes problemas atmosféricos ahorita, espérate que lleguemos al final de Apocalipsis, al final de los tiempos.
But don't worry, there's not going to come a big star or an asteroid that's going to crash into the Earth, and it's all going to get ended in 20 years.
Pero no te preocupes, no será por un asteroide o un cometa que se estrelle contra el mundo en 20 años que se va a acabar.
The Bible has laid it all out very clearly how everything is going to go.
La Biblia ya nos dejó claramente explicado cómo van a suceder las cosas.
And none of that is going to happen until Jesus makes it all happen.
Y nada de eso va a suceder hasta que Cristo decida que va a suceder.
And so we have to place our trust in Jesus as our creator, because he created this whole world.
Tenemos que poner nuestra confianza en Cristo como nuestro creador, porque él creó todo.
And Colossians 1 says that he sustains every molecule, every atomic bonding, and in every molecule, he holds the whole universe together.
Y Colosenses enseña que él sustenta todo átomo, todo enlace atómico, todo lo creado, él lo mantiene.
And in one word, it could all go, and all, just like that.
Y con una palabra de él, todo se puede ir.
And it does say that in 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3, that this whole world is going to finally be destroyed.
Y en 2 de Pedro 3, sí se enseña que este mundo se va a acabar.
But there's going to be a new heavens and new earth, and all of that is in Revelation 21 and 22.
Pero va a haber un nuevo cielo y una nueva tierra, y todo eso está en Apocalipsis 21.
21 and 22.
21 y 22.
So, all of this needs to be part of how we view life, and how we even view being a married couple in this world.
Todo esto debe ser parte de cómo vemos la vida y cómo vemos nuestro matrimonio en este mundo.
I have friends of mine. They're now in their 80s.
Tengo amigos que están en sus 80 años de edad.
And they said our world is getting so evil that we can't stand the thought of bringing any children into this world.
Y nos dicen que nuestro mundo se ha vuelto tan malo que ni siquiera podemos imaginarnos traer niños a este mundo.
And so that's the decision that they made.
Y esa es la decisión que ellos tomaron, no tener hijos.
And in fact, they even said that they believe that they believe this very strongly, that Jesus would be coming back to earth no later than 1988.
Y ellos creían, de hecho, de manera muy ferviente que Cristo no iba a venir al mundo después de 1988.
Well, Jesus did not come back in 1988.
Bueno, Cristo no vino en 1988.
And now they're old and they have nobody to be taking care of them, and their life is very much less than what it could have been.
Y ahora están viejos, no tienen hijos que cuiden de ellos, y su vida es mucho menos de lo que pudo haber sido.
So, as we move forward, don't be afraid of whatever our world is bringing us, whatever is going to be happening in the future.
A medida que avanzamos, no tengan miedo de todo lo que el mundo nos está confrontando, con lo que el mundo nos está
confrontando. Look what happened to Daniel. Little Daniel is a teenager. He's only about 14 or 15.
Miren lo que le pasó a Daniel cuando era solo un adolescente de 14 o 15.
And his whole world is destroyed. Jerusalem is overthrown, and he is taken away as a captive to Babylon.
Y su mundo entero es destruido. Jerusalén es destruido y es llevado cautivo a Babilonia.
And for his whole life, he's living in a godless place like Babylon.
Y por su vida, toda su vida estuvo viviendo en un lugar sin Dios en Babilonia.
And yet he becomes, because he's so godly, he becomes so influential that his influence, I don't have even time to tell you, his influence passes on along all of the magi, all of the wise men of the East, until Jesus is ready to be born.
Y entonces él era un hombre tan apegado a Dios que tuvo tal influencia en este mundo sin Dios que se acarreó hasta la época de Jesús con los Reyes Magos.
These magi in Persia come following a star to find Jesus, to find the Messiah that Daniel had talked about and wrote about 600 years earlier.
Y entonces tienes a estos Reyes Magos viniendo desde lejos, basados en las enseñanzas de Daniel que iba a venir un Mesías cuando todo esto ocurriera.
And he made sure that they understood it, these wise men, because he wrote half of his book in Aramaic.
Y se aseguró de que estas personas lo fueran a entender porque escribió su libro en arameo.
Not Hebrew.
No hebreo.
It's the only chapters in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that's written in Aramaic and not Hebrew.
Son los únicos capítulos del Viejo Testamento que están escritos en arameo y no en hebreo.
And they learned it, and they passed it on, and they passed it on all the way down 600 years. They're still looking for this Messiah that Daniel has predicted.
Y lo pasaron y lo pasaron por 600 años y seguían esperando este Mesías del que Daniel había hablado.
See, that's a tremendous worldview that you should be able to have and say, even if we don't get to completely raise our kid and he gets taken away and he goes somewhere else, does he know enough by the time he's 15 to be another Daniel in some other part of the world?
Esa es la cosmovisión que ustedes pueden tener, que pase lo que pase, va a saber mi hijo a sus 15 años lo suficiente para que en caso de que se lo llevaran, él fuera un siguiente Daniel.
Okay. The next thing, number three, is that you need to have an understanding of role relationships.
El punto número tres es que tenemos que tener un entendimiento correcto de las relaciones de roles.
This is what I have found to be the most lacking of anything that I have ever taught over the years with young people.
Esto es lo que he encontrado más carente en lo que he enseñado yo con jóvenes.
You have to have an understanding of role relationships.
Tienes que entender correctamente las relaciones y los roles.
Okay, I'm going to explain what it is.
Voy a explicar lo que es. Kevin has a question.
En la segunda, en el punto 2, dijo que iba a dar dos versículos importantes. Primera Juan 3.
So in point number 2, you mentioned that you were going to provide two Bible verses that were very important. He has John, 1 John 3:5
and then 1 John 3:8, those two verses. Second one is 8. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I was unclear.
Muchas gracias.
Okay. What is a role?
¿Qué es un rol?
What is a role?
¿Qué es un rol?
A role is an expected. I'm going to be very specific. It's an expected behavior pattern
Un rol es un comportamiento esperado, un patrón.
For getting anything done,
para hacer cualquier cosa,
when at least two people are involved.
Cuando por lo menos dos personas están involucradas.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll sit back down. I'm sorry, I keep messing up the camera. If you had as a plan tonight that you want to go home and just be by yourself and read a book and have a nice quiet evening at home.
Si tu plan fuera irte a tu casa y leer un libro y tener una velada tranquila en tu casa.
That does not require you to understand role relationships.
Eso no necesita que entiendas las relaciones de rol.
You're not doing anything with anybody.
Porque no estás haciendo nada con alguien.
Now, if you're going to do something with someone,
pero si vas a hacer algo con alguien,
or with a whole group,
o con un grupo,
it's going to require that there be rules.
Se van a necesitar reglas.
So let me give you some examples from our world.
Déjenme les doy un par de ejemplos de nuestro mundo.
You go to a restaurant.
Vas a un restaurante.
We did that last night.
Lo hicimos la noche pasada.
And there was a lady, sometimes it's a lady, sometimes it's a man, meets you either outside the restaurant or just right inside the restaurant.
Y hay una señorita, un caballero que te encuentran ya sea fuera del restaurante o adentro.
And maybe they find out, do you want to eat outside or do you want to eat inside?
Y te preguntan si quieres comer adentro o si quieres comer afuera.
How many people are in your party?
¿Cuántas personas están en tu grupo?
You know, do you need a little seat for the for a child?
¿Necesitas algún asiento especial para un bebé?
So ask you all those kinds of questions.
Te hacen todas esas preguntas.
Then she'll go and turn to somebody else and say, could you help us to get a table for them?
Entonces ella o él va y le dice a otra persona, ¿nos ayudas con una mesa para él?
And so they talk to some other people and then they get you a table and you get seated.
Entonces hablan con otras personas y te consiguen tu mesa y te sientas.
And then a waiter or a waitress comes and they ask, what would you like to drink and what would you like to eat?
Entonces un mesero o una mesera viene y te preguntan, ¿qué quieres tomar? ¿Qué quieres comer?
And you say, this is a stupid menu.
Y tú dices, este menú es estúpido.
All you have are seafood and steaks.
Todo lo que tienes es comida de mar y carne.
I want some spaghetti.
Yo quiero espagueti.
And then she says, well, that's not on our menu.
Bueno, eso no está en nuestro menú.
And so you stand up on the table and you start screaming so that everybody in the room can hear you.
Entonces te paras en la mesa y empiezas a gritar para que todo el mundo te escuche.
What's going to happen?
¿Qué va a pasar? Chaos. They get
chaos.
You out.
Yeah. Or you might even get in a fight with somebody.
A lo mejor te peleas con alguien.
Yeah. Okay. There is an expected behavior pattern that everyone must follow if you are to get anything accomplished working with at least two people.
Hay un patrón de comportamientos esperados que se necesitan si quieres que algo funcione.
You're going to have to follow me for just, I'm sorry, but just
cuando trabajas con un grupo.
So you tell that they somebody asks you, how can I help you? You tell them what you want to do.
Cuando alguien te pregunta, ¿cómo te puedo ayudar? Les dices lo que quieres que ellos
and
hagan.
So then they ask you some more questions and you answer them and they're there helping you.
Entonces ellos te hacen alguna pregunta y hay un ida y vuelta, un intercambio.
Then they go to someone and they say, can you help me? Can you help find a table that would be good for them?
Entonces ellos van con alguien más y le piden ayuda para encontrar la mesa correcta.
And so then this person says, yes, I have the table, and then tells this waiter, would you take them over to such and such a table?
Entonces esta persona dice, sí, sí, tenemos la mesa, y le piden ayuda a otra persona, los pueden llevar a la mesa que quieren.
Then the waiter comes to your table and asks, what do you want to drink? What do you want to eat?
Entonces el mesero viene y te pregunta qué quieres comer,
and
tomar.
Everybody is very respectful, and you tell them what you want.
Y todo el mundo es respetuoso y les dices lo que quieres.
And then he takes the order exactly as you have said.
Y él toma la orden exactamente como la pediste.
He turns around and he goes to the chef.
Y se voltea y va con el chef.
And he says, these are all the meals that they want, and so they stick it up in here, and they begin to cook your meal.
Entonces dice, esto es lo que quieren comer, y lo ponen ahí, lo empiezan a cocinar.
When it's finished, the chef then says, here are the meals, you can take it to them.
Y cuando se termina, el chef dice, aquí está la comida, llévela.
So they take llévela. The meals, and they serve it to you.
Entonces llevan la comida y te la sirven.
And you try one of the you try the steak and it's not cooked enough.
Y pruebas la carne y no está cocinada como tú quieres.
But you're very respectful.
Pero eres muy
and
respetuoso.
You say, you know, my steak isn't the way I ordered it.
Y le dices, "Oye, mi carne no está como yo la quería."
Oh, very sorry. Let me take it. We'll go back. And maybe they give you a new steak or they just cook that one a little bit more.
Y te dicen, "Oye, una disculpa, ahorita te lo cocinamos más y listo."
And when it comes time to pay the bill, you give it to them and he gives it to somebody else. It ultimately gets back to you and you ultimately leave the restaurant.
Ya les das la cuenta, se la llevan, te la regresas y te vas.
And it's 3 hours long, your event.
Son 3 horas el evento.
And you had a wonderful time.
Y tienes un tiempo increíble.
And it could not have been better.
Y no pudo haber sido mejor.
But you know why?
¿Sabes por qué?
It's because everybody in that restaurant was operating on rules.
Es porque cada persona en ese restaurante operó conforme
a sus
roles.
They all knew what they were supposed to do, and here is the one that meets you is in a role of authority over you.
Y aquí está la persona que te recibe y tiene una autoridad sobre ti.
And is asking you questions, and you're submitting to that girl or man, and you're telling him or her what you want.
Y entonces te hace preguntas y tú te sometes para que le digas lo que quieres.
And then she, let's say, she turns around and she asks them, "Can you help me? I need a table for them." Then they take the responsibility and they act with authority to that maitre d' or to the woman get you a right table.
Entonces la persona que te recibe se voltea y pide ayuda y ahora esta nueva gente toma un rol de autoridad para conseguir la mesa.
All during the night, everybody is dependent. They know how they're supposed to act when they're in a certain role.
Todos en esa noche están actuando como deben actuar en esos roles.
And sometimes they're in one role and sometimes they're in another role.
A veces en un rol, a veces en otro.
And it goes all the way to the chef. And all the way back to you at your table.
Hasta el chef y de regreso hasta tu mesa.
Am I telling you the truth?
¿Les estoy diciendo la verdad?
Sí.
Yes.
Now, you go to a doctor's office or a dentist's office.
Vas al doctor, al dentista.
It's exactly the same thing.
Es lo mismo.
You go to a supermarket. Exactly the same thing. The whole world runs on roles.
Todo el mundo funciona con roles.
So what if you decide, you know, the traffic that we're having is really bad.
¿Sabes que el tráfico que tenemos es demasiado?
So I'm going to go on the other side of the road, and it's a divided highway even. I'm going to go on the other side of the road because there aren't as many cars there, and I'm going to go the direction I want to be going.
Entonces me voy a ir al otro lado del camino en sentido contrario porque no hay tantos coches.
But there's all these cars coming at you.
Y pues vienen todos estos coches contra ti.
Now I know that this happens a lot of places in Mexico.
Esto pasa mucho en México.
But I have to tell you, it happens a lot of places in India.
También mucho en India.
And I've had my driver in India do that, and Joni's been with me, and he'll go for maybe 10 or 15 kilometers, and he's swerving around cars as they're all coming at him, and he's going the opposite direction.
Nos ha tocado que nuestro chofer en India hace eso y está esquivando coches en sentido contrario.
But see, he is not operating according to the role that you're supposed to have.
Pero no está...
If you're in India, you drive on the left side of the road and you stay in your side.
Pero no está operando de acuerdo al rol que le toca. En India te quedas a la izquierda y ahí es.
If you're in Mexico, you stay on the right side of the road and you stay in your road in your on your side.
En México es a la derecha.
And I know that signal lights are only suggestions to stop, but let's say it is a red light, and most people would stop.
Ya sé que aquí en México es sugerencia el semáforo, pero si está rojo, generalmente te paras.
And then that allows all the other cars to go the other way.
Y eso permite que los coches que van en esta dirección pasen.
But if you say, I don't care if it's red or not, I'm just going to go.
Pero si dices, no me importa que esté rojo, me voy a seguir.
That happens every day in Mexico, and many people get killed.
Eso pasa en México mucho y mucha gente tiene accidentes.
Am I telling you the truth?
¿Estoy diciendo la verdad?
So what we're talking about, all of the world. Everything runs on rules.
Lo que quiere
so we can't say, this is don't talk to me about rules. No, the whole world works that way.
Lo que quiere decir es que el mundo entero funciona con roles. Y si tú me dices, no me hables de roles, así es como las cosas funcionan.
Now there are two rules, and there's only two.
Hay dos roles y únicamente dos.
And what God wants you to do is every day during the day. Is figure out, are you trying to get anything done with at least one other person?
Lo que Dios quiere que pienses es que si en todo día estás por lo menos intentando hacer algo con otra persona.
It could be one of your children.
Puede ser un hijo.
It could be your husband.
Tu esposo.
It could be it could be a group of 4 or 5 people at your job.
Puede ser un grupo de 4 o 5 personas en tu trabajo.
It doesn't matter as long as it's more than one, as long as it's two or more.
Siempre y cuando sea más de uno, dos o más,
and you want to get something done,
y quieres hacer algo,
you're going to have a role.
Vas a tener que tener roles.
And you're going to have roles. And so it always means knowing what role am I in right now, and then living that out to the full, and then maybe in 20 minutes I'm in a different role, and then living that out to the full, and then back and forth. And so all of that begins to happen subconsciously. We don't even think about it, but it can have a devastating effect on your marriage if you don't begin thinking about it now.
Entonces el chiste es decir en qué rol estoy ahorita y vivirlo al máximo, y así aunque después tengas un rol distinto, en qué rol estoy ahorita y vivirlo. Si no lo haces así, puede tener efectos devastadores en tu matrimonio.
Okay, let me get out something. Okay, so when we're talking about roles, there are two roles. I'm going to call one the role of authority. What I like better is to call it the role of responsibility.
Hay dos roles. Uno es el rol de autoridad. A mí me gusta llamarlo el rol de responsabilidad.
And this is a role that is for anybody.
Este rol es para cualquiera.
It's not a male role versus a female role.
No es un rol para los hombres o para las mujeres.
I just want to see where I want to land. I'm going to land here. Okay? It is not a male role or a female role. It is a role of responsibility.
No es un rol masculino o femenino, es el rol de la responsabilidad.
It could be the role that a mother has with her children all day long if she's a stay-at-home mom.
Puede ser el rol que tiene una madre con sus hijos si es ella se quedó en casa.
It could be a role that elders in the church have with all the people that are a part of their fellowship, all the different house churches or however it's going to be.
Puede ser un rol que los ancianos de la iglesia tienen con los feligreses.
But it is characterized by embracing responsibility.
Se caracteriza por tomar responsabilidad.
The key word is this is a role that takes initiative.
La palabra clave es tomar iniciativa.
This is the role that protects.
Es un rol que protege.
And this is the role that serves the way Jesus served.
Es un rol que sirve como Cristo sirvió.
So this is a role, what we call the role of responsibility or the role of authority.
El rol de responsabilidad o de autoridad.
Obviously, it's been misused all over the world.
Obviamente, ha sido mal usado en todo el mundo.
But that doesn't mean that it still isn't true.
Pero eso no quiere decir que no sea verdadero.
So, in this role of authority, with God, God gives a command, and He expects us to obey Him.
Con este rol de autoridad, Dios nos da un mandamiento y espera que nosotros lo obedezcamos.
It's not quite the same as with a husband and wife or with the father and his children.
No es exactamente lo mismo que con un esposo y su mujer o un padre y su hijo.
And so It's what I call earned authority.
Es lo que yo llamo autoridad ganada.
So let me ask you as a group, what do you think earned authority might look like?
¿Qué creen que, cómo creen que se ve el ganarse la autoridad?
Cuando confían en ti.
When someone trusts in you?
Yes.
Sí.
That they have been so kind to you and so consistent for so long that you can trust them.
Ellos han sido tan amables y tan consistentes contigo que puedes confiar en ellos.
And so if they ask you to do something, then you don't question it because you know that they have your best interest at heart.
Entonces, si te piden que hagas algo, no lo cuestionas porque sabes que ellos quieren lo mejor para ti.
What else would it look like?
¿De qué otra forma puede ser ganarse una respect?
They show you respect. And you know what? You know what I found? I found that many, many people love children.
¿Saben qué, de qué me
it's their own children or just children anywhere.
¿Saben de qué me he dado cuenta? Que a la gente, a la mayor parte de la gente le gustan los niños, ya sean los suyos o los de otros. Pero
they don't respect children.
Pero no los respetan.
They don't realize that a little kid of 4 or 5 has a better memory than you do.
No se dan cuenta que un niño de 4 o 5 tiene mejor memoria que tú.
And can memorize huge portions of any kind of material.
Y puede memorizar grandes porciones de cualquier tipo de material.
Can devour things because the enormous appetite to learn that they have and the curiosity that they have.
Y pueden aprender muchísimas cosas por el apetito que tienen y la curiosidad que tienen de aprender.
And yet we say, well, you know, wait till they're 18 or 20 and then we'll pay a little attention to them.
Y tú puedes pensar, me voy a esperar que tengan 18 o 20 para ponerles atención.
No, the time to start respecting a child is when they're born.
No, el tiempo para respetar a un niño es cuando nace.
They have tremendous capabilities that we're only now beginning to realize and learn.
Tienen grandes capacidades que hasta ahora nos vamos dando cuenta.
Way before they can even they just can't tell you what they know, but they know it.
Ellos no podrán decirte lo que saben, pero lo saben.
So earned authority.
El ganarse la autoridad.
Earned authority is I'll give it to you in theological terms, and then I'll just give it to you in good old practical Mexican terms.
Se los voy a dar en términos teológicos y después en términos prácticos y sencillos.
Earned authority is gained by sacrificially serving other people.
Ganarse autoridad se gana sirviendo a otros de manera sacrificada.
In other words, what I call showing biblical love.
En otras palabras, lo que yo llamo mostrar amor bíblico.
Biblical love is love that is selfless. It's love that puts others first.
El amor bíblico es un amor desinteresado que pone a los otros primero.
It's love that's willing to sacrifice oneself for someone else.
Que está dispuesto a sacrificarse a sí mismo por otro.
And that's the kind of person that you will follow to the ends of the earth.
Esa es la clase de persona que seguirías hasta el final de la tierra.
And Jesus' disciples did that because they knew he loved them.
Y los discípulos de Jesús lo hicieron porque sabían que Él los amaba. Y cuando sabes que alguien te ama de esa forma, harías lo que sea por Él.
That's how earned authority happens.
Así se gana la autoridad.
Now I'm going to put it into a little a formula. And by doing this, I don't mean to say that Christianity is just a lot of simple little formulas and sayings. It's far more complicated than that.
Lo voy a poner una pequeña fórmula, y con esto no quiero decir que el cristianismo es sencillo, que lo puedes poner en una fórmula, pero lo voy a hacer.
But one way to express love is wisdom. Love equals wisdom. Plus no fear.
Una forma de expresar el amor es igual a sabiduría más falta de miedo.
Now what I mean by that is that love equals wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what the right thing is for someone else.
sabiduría.
You know what it is. It's based on principles. It's based on God's word. And so you have that knowledge that you know what's right and what's best for someone else.
Sabiduría basado en la palabra de Dios y sus principios es saber lo que es mejor para otra persona.
But no fear is being willing to go ahead and do it even though you get some pushback.
Pero el no tener miedo es proseguir a hacer lo que es correcto aunque sabes que vas a tener resistencia.
So let's say there's a parent. And the parent says, "Well, honey, it's 2,300 hours. Let's say it's a 2-year-old. Don't you think it's time to go to bed now?"
Entonces, un ejemplo es, por ejemplo, un padre de familia que dice, "Amor, ya son las 10. ¿No crees que es hora de que el niño se vaya a dormir?"
And the child says, "No, I'm not tired," and runs off.
Y el niño dice, "No, yo no tengo sueño," y se va.
And so dad says, "Okay."
Y el papá dice, "Bueno."
And so there's some pushback that dad got, even though he knows that the child should be in bed, should have normal sleep hours, and you work on having a systematic schedule for the child.
Entonces, hubo esta resistencia porque a pesar de que el padre sabe que el niño debe irse a dormir porque tiene que recibir sus horas.
And don't just allow the child to determine what you're always going to do with him or her.
Y no dejar que el niño decida qué es lo que tienes que hacer tú con él.
So there's got to be no fear where you go ahead, even if there's a tantrum, even if there's the wife that's crying, even if there's other things, other kinds of pushback that you get.
Y entonces debes de no tener miedo de hacer lo correcto, aunque el niño esté haciendo berrinche o tu mujer esté llorando, tienes que hacer lo que es correcto.
So that's what I mean by no fear.
Eso es lo que me refiero con
so
no tener
let
miedo.
Let me show you what that would look like.
Déjenme les muestro
what
cómo
sería. What does it look like having wisdom? If you have wisdom, it means that you're operating on principles. Sí. Operating on principles.
Si tienes sabiduría, significa que estás operando basado en principios.
You're not operating on rules.
No reglas.
It's very easy for your group or for lots of groups all over Mexico to be very legalistic and operate more on rules rather than principles.
Es muy fácil que en este grupo, en otros grupos aquí en México, se vuelvan grupos legalistas, donde estás operando por...
So somebody would say, "Well, would a good girl like you go do that?" You know, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
That
entonces case. Alguien puede decir así como, "Una niña buena como tú, ¿de verdad estaría haciendo eso?"
But instead you're operating on principles because that allows the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and tell you in the moment with the context of what's going on what's the right thing to do.
Pero en lugar de hacer eso, mejor lo hagas en principios, dejando que el Espíritu Santo te guíe en cada momento en el contexto, qué es lo correcto y qué no.
Do you know that the Quran has thousands of rules that are listed that everybody has to follow?
El Corán tiene miles y miles de reglas que todos tienen que seguir.
The Bible is not like the Quran, especially now that we're in the New Testament.
La Biblia no es como el Corán, especialmente ahora que estamos en el Nuevo Testamento.
And Jesus even said all of the law is boiled down into one word, love.
Y Jesús mismo dijo todas las
Paul
leyes.
Said the same thing.
Todas las leyes se resumen a una, amor.
So we need to operate on principles. We need to be consistent.
Tenemos que operar con principios y ser consistentes.
If the husband says to the wife, "I'm going to be home tonight at such and such a time."
Si el esposo le dice a la mujer, "Voy a llegar a esta hora a la casa."
And then it's an hour and a half later that he comes.
Entonces, hora y media después, no llega.
Or the next night he says, "Well, I'm going to be home at such and such a time," but it's 45 minutes later.
Y a la noche siguiente dice, "Voy a estar aquí ahora," y pasan 45 minutos,
so
no llega.
So nothing that he says ever matches what he does.
Entonces su palabra nunca corresponde con la realidad.
That's called inconsistency.
Eso es ser inconsistente.
And it does not build trust, it undermines trust.
Y no crea confianza, sino que la deshace.
What about if the father says one thing to the child, but the mother says something entirely opposite?
¿Qué pasa si el papá le enseña unas cosas al hijo y el mamá cosas opuestas?
The kid is confused because the message he's get is not consistent.
El niño se confunde porque el mensaje que le están dando no es consistente.
So he will take chances. He will say, "Well, I may get spanked, I may not. So I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do anyway, and we'll just see what mom and dad do.
Entonces va a vivir basado en probabilidades, ¿no? A lo mejor me regañan, a lo mejor no, vamos a ver qué pasa.
So the one that's in the role of authority, the one that's in the role of responsibility, must be consistent.
El que tiene el rol de responsabilidad, de autoridad, debe ser consistente.
And so what is the, what's the result? What's the result of all of this?
¿Cuál es el resultado de todo esto?
Really, really important.
Muy importante.
Predictability.
Predictabilidad. Sí.
You know why? You want the child to be able to predict what mom and dad are going to do in any situation.
¿Quieres que el niño pueda predecir lo que la mamá o el papá van a hacer en las circunstancias dadas?
You as the wife want to be able to predict what your husband is always going to do in any situation.
Tú como esposa debes poder predecir lo que tu esposo va a hacer en cualquier situación.
We even have little chains that says what would Jesus do?
Tenemos cadenas que dicen qué haría Jesús.
And you all have had those, and you know what I mean.
Y ustedes saben a lo que me refiero.
Because we have such a clear picture of who Jesus is. If we can just think, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, that's what he would do. You go ahead and do it, and that was the right thing.
Tenemos una imagen tan clara de quién es Jesús que en cualquier circunstancia dada puedes decir, ¿qué haría Jesús? Lo que él haría sería lo correcto. Entonces vas y haces eso.
It builds predictability.
Construye la capacidad de predecir.
There is predictability in the home in a righteous, a winsome, wonderful way.
Si puedes predecir las cosas que van a ocurrir en tu hogar de una forma magnífica,
then your children will want to follow your lead.
Entonces tus hijos van a querer seguirte.
They will.
De verdad que sí.
And so that's what we're talking about with the role of authority.
De eso estamos hablando con el rol de autoridad.
Now what about the role of response?
Ahora,
the role of submission or the role of response?
El rol de respuesta o el rol de sumisión.
The role of submission is one of I've skipped the whole thing about no fear, but just because of time.
Me salté la parte de no tener miedo por cuestiones de tiempo.
Maybe the only thing I should say on this, where whenever you have fear in your heart, you don't know if your wife is going to cry if you decide to do this. You know in your heart it's the right thing to do, but you're afraid of what her reaction is going to be.
Lo único que sí quiero decir es, por ejemplo, si sabes que es lo correcto, pero sabes que como resultado tu esposa podría llorar, pero de todas formas sabes que eso es lo correcto.
Or you're afraid that your child is going to throw a tantrum right in the middle of the market. And everybody in the whole store is going to see what a terrible mother you are.
O tienes miedo de que tu hijo haga un berrinche en medio del súper y todo el mundo piense qué terrible madre eres.
There's always going to be those kinds of challenges.
Siempre van a estar ese tipo de retos.
So we're talking about that no fear means being willing to be firm. You have to be firm.
Entonces no tener miedo quiere decir estar dispuesto a ser firme.
Firm does not mean punching somebody.
Firme no quiere decir golpear a alguien.
Firm does not mean throwing your wife across the room.
Firme no quiere decir aventar a tu esposa por
firm
el cuarto.
Firm does not mean screaming at your kids.
Firme no quiere decir gritarle a tus hijos.
Firm means quiet determination that dad is going to win no matter what.
Firmeza quiere decir determinación callada de que el padre va a ganar, no pase lo que pase.
I had a situation like that with my second daughter.
Tuve una situación similar con mi segunda hija.
And I had to take the whole morning off work, and I had to deal with her from 8 in the morning till 12 noon.
Me tuve que tomar el día para lidiar con ello desde las 8 de la mañana hasta el mediodía.
Because at 4 years of age, she told me a clear lie, and I knew that it was a lie.
Porque a los 4 años me mintió directamente a la cara. Y yo sabía que era mentira.
Because I knew that the banana peel did not cause those crayon marks on the refrigerator.
Porque yo sabía que la casca de plátano no causó los rayones en el refrigerador.
And she kept saying, "No, Daddy, I didn't do it. Banana peel did it."
Ella seguía diciendo, "No, papá, no fui yo, fue la cáscara de plátano."
And I had to stay with that child for 4 hours until she finally broke.
Y me tuve que quedar con esa niña por 4 horas hasta que finalmente se dio.
I had to get a big box And I let her say goodbye to all of her favorite toys.
Agarré una caja y permití que ella le tuviera que decir adiós a sus juguetes favoritos.
And put them in the box.
Los besaba y los abrazaba y los ponía en la caja.
And she'd say, "Daddy, I didn't do it."
Y decía, papá, yo no fui.
And finally she broke after 4 hours.
Y después de 4 horas cedió.
After I had taken most of her toys away.
Ya que le había quitado casi todos sus juguetes.
And most of them she never got back or only got back some years later.
Y muchos no se los di de regreso o hasta años después.
But she never ever told me a lie again.
Pero nunca jamás me mintió de nuevo.
We still have some problems, I think, because she thought I was being too firm on this, and my wife probably agrees.
Todavía tenemos algunos problemas porque quizás fui demasiado firme y mi esposa tal vez esté de acuerdo.
But I was concerned about this child's soul, and that if she was going to lie to me now and continue lying to me, that would take her down a path that would not be good.
A mí me importaba su alma y sabía que si ella me empezaba a mentir a mí, eso no le iba a llevar por una ruta que le iba a hacer bien a ella.
But let's go on and talk though about the biblical role of submission.
Pero sigamos a platicar del rol bíblico de la sumisión.
Biblical role of submission is it's characterized by being a living sacrifice.
El rol de sumisión se caracteriza por ser un sacrificio vivo.
Yeah. And where do we get that image? We get it from Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
¿De dónde tenemos esta imagen? De Romanos capítulo 12, versículo 1.
Because that is the posture that we are to have toward God. We are to act as a living sacrifice to God.
Porque es la postura que nosotros debemos tener para con Dios. Debemos ser un sacrificio vivo para Dios.
But the problem is, the sacrifice keeps crawling off the altar.
Pero el problema es que el sacrificio se sigue escapando del altar.
Yeah. Now, it's also characterized by, it reinforces what the role of authority wants, what the role of responsibility wants. It reinforces. It helps everything keep going the direction that the one in charge wants.
Se caracteriza por no ser un refuerzo de lo que el rol de autoridad dirige.
The picture of Eve being a helper perfectly suited for Adam.
Es la imagen de Eva siendo una ayuda idónea para Adán.
She was to complement him in every way.
Tenía que complementarlo en toda manera.
Whatever area he was weak or needed help, she was strong and could help.
En cualquier área donde él era débil o necesitaba ayuda, ella era fuerte y podía ayudar.
It certainly is not one of competition.
No es una cuestión de competencias.
And it certainly speaks of a wholeness where you are working together so that you have a picture of unity.
Ciertamente habla de una figura de unión y de estar completos.
Now here's the question that I ask. When people say, "But I don't like this idea of submission for the wife to submit," well, what I always say is, "Yeah, but do you like Jesus?"
La pregunta que yo hago es esta. Cuando tengo una situación de, mira, no me gusta la idea de que la mujer deba someterse, yo debo preguntar, ¿te gusta la idea de Cristo?
And they say, "Well, of course I like Jesus. I love Jesus."
Y dicen, claro, yo amo a Jesús.
I say, "Do you know that Jesus for all of eternity has been in submission to the Father?"
Y él les dice, tú sabes que por toda la eternidad Jesucristo ha estado en sumisión al Padre. Es la segunda parte de la Trinidad y aún así Él se somete al Padre.
And we see that in John 17 where he says, "This plan that you and I came up with before there ever was a world."
Y lo dice en Juan 17 cuando habla del plan que ellos construyeron desde antes
Jesus
de los principios del mundo.
And he says, "Father," when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Please take this cup from me. I just don't want to do this. But not my will, but your will be done."
Lo vemos en el huerto de Getsemaní cuando dice, "Padre, pasa de mí esta copa, pero no lo que yo quiero, sino tu voluntad."
And then it says, ultimately, after Satan has been defeated by Jesus, that Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years.
Y últimamente, cuando Jesús vence a Satanás, Jesús va a reinar.
So this is a very important passage. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to allude to it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 to 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 to 28. In that passage, it says that the Father gave all authority to the Son to judge the world.
En este pasaje de 1 Corintios dice que el Padre le dio toda autoridad al Hijo para que juzgue al mundo.
And you can see that in John chapter 5. There's lots of other passages that deal with that.
Lo puedes ver en Juan 5 y en muchos otros pasajes.
And then it says that God gave Jesus the authority to reign over the whole, over this kingdom for 1,000 years.
Y dice que Dios le dio autoridad a Cristo de reinar en este reino por 1,000 años.
But that at the end of the kingdom, it says that Jesus gives the right to reign back to the Father.
Y dice que al final de este reino, Jesús le da la autoridad de reinar de vuelta al Padre.
And that when you look at the new heavens and new earth, you don't see the Father, you don't see the Holy Spirit. Both of them are spirit persons, but they're not human beings, they're spirit beings.
Y cuando viene el final, ya no vemos al Padre o al Espíritu Santo en forma de persona, son espíritus.
The only one you see in Revelation 21 and 22 is Jesus.
Al único que vemos en Apocalipsis al final es a Cristo.
And guess what? It doesn't call him king, because the Father is ultimately at the end of all time, he is ruling as the king of the whole universe.
Y no lo llama rey porque últimamente el rey va a ser el Padre.
Because the Son gave it back to the Father. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote.
Porque el Hijo se lo dio de vuelta al Padre. Eso es lo que el apóstol Pablo escribió.
And whenever it talks about Jesus in those chapters, Revelation 21 and 22, how does it refer to him?
Y cuando habla de Jesús en Apocalipsis 21 y 22, ¿cómo se refieren a él?
Not a trick question.
No, es una pregunta con truco.
He's referred to as the Lamb.
Se le refiere como el Cordero.
Because for all of eternity, we are going to celebrate Jesus dying on the cross for us and all that he made possible because of his death. That his death made possible destroying the works of the devil and forgiving us of our sins.
Sí, porque hasta por toda la eternidad lo que vamos a celebrar es el sacrificio que Cristo como Cordero hizo por nosotros para permitir nuestra salvación y destruir las obras de Satanás.
So here's the question.
Aquí está la pregunta.
Is Jesus a weakling?
¿Jesús es un debilucho?
Is Jesus just a little whipping boy?
¿Jesús es un niñito?
What is your opinion of Jesus when you look at the whole picture?
¿Cuál es tu opinión de Jesús cuando ves el panorama completo?
He's the greatest person that's ever lived on this earth. There's no one even close.
Es la persona más grande que ha vivido. Nadie se le acerca.
Isn't that right?
¿No es cierto?
Yeah. So why is it so bad to put yourself in a position of submission when that's what Jesus did his whole career?
Entonces, ¿por qué es que es tan malo ponerte en una posición de sumisión cuando eso es precisamente lo que Cristo hizo toda su vida?
Because as Carlos said this morning, a leader doesn't ask you to do something that he isn't willing to do himself.
Porque como Carlos dijo esta mañana, un líder no te pedirá hacer algo que él no estaría dispuesto a hacer por sí mismo.
Isn't that right, Carlos? And that's what Jesus did. He lived out a role of submission before us in all of its glorious power and influence. And he's asking both men and women, all of us, to live out these two roles of authority and submission hundreds of times a day throughout our whole life.
Porque eso es lo que Cristo hizo siempre y ahora nos está pidiendo a nosotros, tanto al rol de autoridad como al rol de sumisión, nos está pidiendo vivirlos en cada momento de nuestra vida, mil veces al día.
Now I'll tell you the joke, and it's the one that you all have heard, but I'll still say it again. The couple they're celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary.
Les voy a decir una broma, es una que seguramente conocen, pero se las voy a decir.
And everybody says, what is your secret to being married for so long?
Hay una pareja que lleva 50 años casada y les preguntan, ¿cuál es el secreto para que lleven tanto tiempo casados?
And the husband says, well, we made it as a pact, as an agreement between the two of us, that with any of the big problems or big issues, I would be the one that would make those decisions. And with any of the small issues, my wife would make the decision.
Lo hicimos un acuerdo entre nosotros que las grandes decisiones las iba a hacer yo y las decisiones pequeñas las iba a hacer siempre ella.
And so the person says, well, how's it been working so far?
Y le preguntan, ¿cómo ha funcionado eso hasta ahora?
He says, well, so far there's only been small issues.
Y dice, hasta ahora solo ha habido cuestiones pequeñas.
Now that's how a lot of people think roles are, that the husband is just the idiot, and the wife is the one who really runs everything because women are always better with relationships. They always can figure out things and see things on many different levels that men can't. They're just, you know, blind and can only see one level, and they can just run circles around us. But that's not how God wants it to be.
Las mujeres tienen habilidades de hacer cosas que nosotros no podemos hacer y muchas veces se le ve al hombre como el tonto porque las mujeres tienen niveles de análisis y de relaciones que nosotros no tenemos, pero eso no es necesariamente solo como Dios quiere que sea.
So let me give you just a few specific examples so that you can understand why understanding roles is important.
Déjenme darles un par de ejemplos que van a indicar por qué es importante tener roles.
I've already talked to you about how there has been great damage done with kids when the wife wanted one thing and the husband wanted another.
Ya les expliqué el daño que le puede hacer a un niño que el padre quiere una cosa y la madre quiere otra cosa.
Or when the wife showed partiality to one child and the husband showed partiality to another child.
O cuando la mujer tenía preferencia por un hijo y el padre por otro.
How did that work for Isaac and Rebecca? That didn't work so good, did it?
¿Cómo les fue a Rebeca y a Isaac con eso?
And you're gonna see that all through the Old Testament. It didn't work very well.
Y en el Viejo Testamento lo vas a ver una y otra vez. No funciona.
Yeah. Joni, I have several, but what are some, several that you can give? Well, we're going to go to 3:00. One could be where the husband says, "I'll take 50%, and you take 50% in running our home."
Un ejemplo puede ser cuando el esposo dice, yo me encargo del 50% y tú del 50%.
That's how most couples would look at it, and that's very common, but it's also very wrong.
Así es como muchas parejas lo ven, es muy común, pero está mal.
It's actually 100-0.
Es realmente 100-0.
Now you would say, well, that sounds very unkind and very mean.
Eso suena grosero.
Not at all.
No para nada.
Husband has total responsibility.
El hombre tiene la responsabilidad total.
But,
pero,
let's say if she's at one job and he's at another, and there's some things that he doesn't know, there's some things she doesn't know. They say, well, you know what? We're gonna make it. I'm gonna say that unless you and I both have talked about this, don't spend anything. $20,000 pesos or something.
Yeah, 2,000 pesos.
Okay.
2,000 pesos.
Yeah. Unless we both talk about it.
Digamos que uno tiene un trabajo, otro tiene otro. Algunos tienen uno tiene conocimiento que el otro no tiene. Entonces dicen, no vamos a hacer ningún gasto más de 2,000 pesos que no hayamos
Because
hablado
this,
los dos.
This begins to keep it from getting a problem where the husband ends up having his own bank account and just takes care of everything that he wants, and then she has her own bank account, takes everything she wants. They buy different things. The wife oftentimes or the husband can get into debt. This happens with many, in many cases, because there's no checks and balances. All kinds of terrible things can happen with finances because you haven't worked through this principle of role relationships to begin with. It needs to be 100-0.
Entonces empieza a haber muchísima división, por ejemplo, en cuestiones financieras, cuando uno empieza a comprar
una esposa. And then the husband starts delegating like crazy all kinds of things to his wife because he knows he can't stay on top of all those things.
Entonces el hombre empieza a delegarle mil cosas a la mujer porque sabe que no puede seguir con este ritmo.
But it's totally different if a woman thinks she is grasping it away from her husband and I'm going to do what I want to do. That's very different than if her husband says, you know, honey, I just can't get to this week. Would you take the responsibility of doing this or running this whole thing? And so she might end up making 90% of the decisions, but it's because her husband has asked her to do it, and she's doing it to serve him and to please him, not because she's trying to grab it.
Entonces la gran diferencia es que en un escenario el esposo le dice, mira, yo no puedo con todo, necesito tu ayuda. Y ella muy dispuesta le ayuda con este tipo de cosas, que es muy diferente a que cada quien esté llevando su ruta.
What you do is not the issue. The motive for why you do it is the total issue, and that can make or break a marriage.
Entonces no es lo que cada uno haga lo que es el problema, sino el motivo por qué lo están haciendo.
Okay.
Okay.
And I know that nobody agrees with me, but that's still my position, and I'm sticking to it.
Y aunque no estén de acuerdo conmigo, ese es donde yo estoy parado y ahí me va a quedar.
We have just a few more minutes before 3, and I'll end it there. I know I didn't get to a lot of the stuff, but anything that we've talked about so far today that you want to ask questions on?
¿Hay preguntas de lo que hablamos el día de hoy? There's a question in the live stream. What does it mean when it says that your desire shall be to your husband? She's probably referring to the Genesis verse.
That's a very good question. And the question is, when God is talking to Eve and punishing her for her part of the sin, it says that you're going to have a certain desire towards your husband, but he is going to... Do you have it there? It's verse 16.
Verse 16, Genesis
3:16.
3:16?
Yeah.
Genesis 3:16. I'm almost there. It's in Spanish, though. That's okay?
That's fine.
Genesis 3:16 says, a la mujer dijo, multiplicaré en gran manera los dolores en tus preñeces, con dolor darás a luz los hijos, y tu deseo, esta es la parte, y tu deseo será para tu marido, y él se enseñoreará de ti.
Now this has nothing to do with her having great sexual desire for her husband.
Esto no tiene nada, sorry. Esto no tiene nada que ver con que ella tenga un gran deseo sexual por su marido.
The word is only used one other time in the Old Testament. It's used in Genesis chapter 4. Moses uses it in chapter 4, verse 7.
Esta palabra solo se vuelve a utilizar en Génesis 4, versículo 7.
Read that.
Genesis 4:7. Si bien hicieres, no serás enaltecido, y si no hicieres bien, el pecado está a la puerta. Con todo esto, a ti será su deseo, y tú te enseñorarás de él.
God is talking to Cain. He has just murdered his brother Abel.
Dios estaba hablándole a Caín, que acaba de matar a su hermano Abel.
And he's beginning, he hasn't yet done it, he's beginning to give Cain a picture of what his sin is going to cause,
yes,
the effect that it's going to have.
Está empezándole a mostrar a Caín el efecto que su pecado tuvo o va a tener.
And he said, sin is crouching at the door and is trying to spring and pounce on you.
Y le está diciendo, el pecado está a la puerta y está acechando sobre ti.
But you are to rebuff that and not let Satan have a victory.
Pero tú tienes que rechazar eso y no dejar que Satanás tenga la victoria.
So this is the picture. This is the same Hebrew word that's used in chapter 3.
Es la misma palabra en hebreo que se utiliza en el capítulo 3.
And what it's all part of what we call the curse.
Es todo parte de lo que llamamos la maldición.
The curse is that in the heart of every woman, not a spirit-filled, Christ-believing woman, just a woman created here on the earth.
Esto quiere decir que en el corazón de cada mujer, no de una cristiana llena del Espíritu, sino una mujer normal.
In the heart of every woman is to rebel against that man and be in control and manipulate him the way Eve manipulated Adam.
Es el rebelarse contra el hombre y tomar control de la relación y manipularlo de la misma forma que Eva a Adán.
And she is going to have that craving in her heart that's never going to go away to want to do that.
Y ella siempre va a tener ese deseo en su corazón que nunca se va a ir.
And that's then going to make for lots of challenges and difficulties in life because.
Y eso va a traer muchos retos y dificultades en la vida.
And if there had not been a fall, we could not have a comedy on television.
Si no hubiera habido una caída, no podríamos tener comedia en la televisión.
Because almost every comedy on television is the wife running circles around the husband and making the husband look like an idiot. And at least that's how it is in American TV.
En la televisión americana, casi todas las comedias giran en torno a la mujer dando vueltas alrededor del hombre y manipulando y.
But that's the curse that every woman has.
Pero es la maldición que tiene la mujer.
But the curse that every man has.
Pero la maldición que todo hombre tiene.
Is that he's going to have to work by the sweat of his brow.
Es que va a tener que trabajar con su sudor.
And God goes into all those aspects of his punishment.
Y Dios aborda todos los aspectos de ese castigo.
But part of the curse is that women are not going to show men what they want. They want respect and they want to be considered important. And instead, women are going to taunt them and, what's the right word? Poke at them their whole life.
Yeah, sí. Entonces, una parte de la maldición del hombre es que el hombre lo que más desea es respeto y honor por parte de su mujer, y eso es algo que la mujer no le va a dar necesariamente.
And so this is the classic human condition, and the only thing that can solve that is Jesus, where Jesus changes the life of the woman, changes the life of the man.
Esa es la condición clásica del humano, y ahí es donde entra la importancia de Jesús, que puede cambiar la condición del hombre y la condición de la mujer.
And when they have their hearts totally changed, then the woman wants to show respect to the husband and wants to serve him and give sacrificially.
Entonces, cuando ya han sido cambiados sus corazones, la mujer quiere respetar a su marido y.
But the husband wants to give his life for his wife.
Pero el esposo quiere dar su vida por la mujer.
And will always protect her, and will always provide for her, and will always help her, because that's what Jesus does. He's the great shepherd.
Y si el hombre siempre va a proteger a la mujer y amar a la mujer y proveer para la mujer y servirle a la mujer, porque eso es lo que Cristo hizo.
And so the curse can only be broken by Jesus, but once it's broken, and they begin to live in these roles. And they begin to accept the way that God has made them and wants them to live, then their life becomes joyous.
Entonces solo Cristo puede romper la maldición, pero una vez que es rota y empiezan a tomar los roles para los cuales Dios los diseñó, entonces juntos es una vida gozosa.
And it becomes very attractive.
Y se vuelve muy, muy atractivo.
And people are coming all the time to want to be with you and be with your family and be with your children.
Y la gente quiere venir y estar contigo y tu familia y tus hijos.
And that because you're being a little picture of the relationship between Jesus and his bride in his kingdom, that's what you're doing right now on earth.
Porque está haciendo una pequeña imagen de lo que será Cristo y su esposa y su reino, una pequeña imagen aquí en la tierra.
But those that don't do that, their life is like a living hell.
Pero los que no hacen eso, su vida es como un infierno.
Well, it's Carlos, it's 3:01. I went longer. We didn't get to everything. I'm probably going to want to keep on going and talking in a pre-marriage thing even tomorrow, and then maybe talks about the basic principles of marriage later in the afternoon. But why don't they bring questions and answers? I would like to know what you think a man needs to know before he marries, and I would like to know what you think a woman needs to know before she marries. That would be very important. I want to know what you guys think. Now, here's what I want all of you to not worry about. I've got two other handouts for tonight. Let's say we'll then do it tonight. That deal with points, what you must be and what you must do. I have those, and so all I can give them to you. They're in English, but we can get them to you later in Spanish.
Sí, o sea, tenemos otros handouts que lidian con otros puntos de lo que estamos tratando. Los tenemos en inglés, pero también podemos pasarlos a español.
And those would be things if you can work it through in English, you then could read some of that over. If I don't get to it, read it over, and that will help you for what we're going to talk about then tomorrow. So that you at least, you're not going to be shortchanged. We'll get everything that you need, but we are.